Thanks for listening to Bookworm. I'm host Michael Silverblatt. If there's another podcast that comes from us at KCRW that I really like, is The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell. I've said it for a long time. Elvis's style of interviewing is like jazz. He orchestrates so many interesting moments and gets people to say such surprising and interesting things about film, about popular culture. He really knows his subject, and he's one of the very best in the country. Listen to The Treatment.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Michael Silverblatt, and this is Bookworm. And today I'm very happy to have as my guest Chang-Rae Lee. When his newest book on such a full sea came out in hardcover, I was so impressed by it. It really kind of dazzled me and turned my head around. And it took me a whole year to get him out here now that the paperback is out. It's published by Riverhead Books. And you see, everyone talked about it as if it were a dystopian novel. They compared it to The Road. And I didn't think that that was what was going on at all. Maybe it's me, but I'm happy that Chang-Rae Lee has supported my perhaps perverse reading, that this is a novel written in a totally bizarre language by immigrants to America who don't have the language to describe their experience, to describe their past. They're trying, but they're total bureaucrats, and they have lived through terrible cultural upheaval, which has deprived them of language. And this is a book written in deprived language. Yes?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this book, it originated as a kind of experimental immigrant novel.
Yeah.
In some sense. I mean, sure, I mean, I know that people can point out its dystopian features, whatever those are. But and of course, it sets somewhat in the future. But aside from, you know, the very basic surface of it, really for me, it was a book about the origination of a community. But a community that doesn't have the material that usual immigrant communities have, the material that they can bring with them from another place. And that in their, you know, uprootedness, you know, they're completely unmoored. They're trying to figure out a way now to think about themselves. And the way they do it, of course, is by, quote unquote, telling the story of Fan.
Fan is the heroine of the novel. She is small, and so she fits into the fishing tanks. She's very dexterous. She can hold her breath. Her city, Bemore, is a fishing economy.
It's basically a repurposed former ghetto, urban ghetto, that's been now made into a production facility for fishes and pristine vegetables.
In fact, things have reached such a point in this newspeak that the directorate speak of the retirement trips that lucky retirees may make to Amsterdam. They can go to the Van Gogh Museum, and they regret that Van Gogh didn't paint more fish, because that would really be delightful to retirees who've worked all their lives in a repurposed perfection of the fish. They are making perfection fishes for the charter community, and they are dedicated to the promulgation of their ability to please their betters. This is the scary language that they've evolved. It's the language of being permanently inferior.
And permanently compliant.
Permanently compliant.
My first aim and my first concept for a novel was to write about Chinese factory workers. I ended up not wanting to write about the social fabric of their lives, but what I did end up retaining and really mulling over was the strange kind of ethos that I felt that this particular group of factory workers had, you know, where they put themselves into a situation in which they'd be stripped of most of their liberties, asked to not dream in the ways that most people dream. Well, I should say, they do have dreams, but those dreams have been squashed, or those dreams have been put under so much heavy water that they can never rise up. And that's, I think, what this book is about, ultimately. This book is the moment at which it begins to rise up, and the struggle that these people have in creating the story, not just of their own fan, but their own fan as a reflection of a destiny that they can only create for themselves.
In fact, if I remember correctly, there is not a word in this book for Chinese, although these are Chinese immigrants. They are called originators, originals?
Originals. They're originals. They're originals. They have, I suppose, you know, they certainly do have an Asian inflection to their the things that they eat and the kind of Confucian hierarchy of the community. But those actually have been diluted so much and with nothing put in its place that they're always constantly referring just really to themselves. You know, this is, for me, one of the interesting things about the subject for me was the idea of exploring a cloister.
Yes.
And what happens in that cloister.
Yes. And we're going to hear a section from On Such a Full Sea, and listen in particular to how this language has been debased. It's not just the we. It's a whole network of ways in which language has become bureaucratized, sanitized, used for purposes of agendas that are now so old that they've disappeared.
Well, the agendas have been almost insinuated into
yes.
their very souls. In this section that I'm about to read, they're just talking about their own little community here.
Yes.
Maybe charters can easily forget what it's like out there, but we Bmores and others in similar settlements should be aware of the possibilities. We shouldn't take for granted the security and comfort of our neighborhoods. We shouldn't think that always leaving our windows open and our doors unlocked means that we're beyond an encroachment. We may believe our gates are insurmountable and that we're armored by routines, but can't we be touched by chance or fate, plucked up like a mouse foraging along his well-worn trail? Before you know it, you're looking down at the last faint print of your claws in the dirt. But hold on, you might say. On our street, once called North Milton Avenue and renamed Longevity Way by our predecessors, who saw the nearly 3-kilometer run of Ruler Straight Road and couldn't help but think of wondrously extended, if not eternal, life, the main infractions are spitting or littering or publicly relieving oneself, most always perpetrated by the very old and very young, and those who overindulge on nights before their free day. There hasn't been a property theft in recent memory, and a report of a serious crime, some mugging or assault, would likely halt all work and social activity immediately, for how exceedingly rare such a thing would be, like some solar eclipse. So yes, you would be more than right. It's been nearly 100 years since our originals arrived, and 50-plus since the final reconstruction and incorporation of what Bmore is today. And for all that time, we have kept up the community, curbstone by curbstone, brick by brick. We have not let our windows get dingy or our brass knobs spot. We are always after our children to pick up after themselves in the playgrounds. We have not allowed anyone to shirk his or her duties or to become lazy and dependent. Be More works because we work. Our sense of purpose driving us that extra measure, that extra hour. And then, of course, the knowledge of what's out in the counties and what it used to be like here before the originals landed, refueling us whenever we flag. We know very well how it was because it's central to our schooling, a primary unit of our studies devoted to the history of BMOR and the conditions that made it possible, and how BMOR itself and other places patterned after it have in turn been stabilizing elements in this long struggling land. There are times we need to remind everyone of those conditions, especially people like Fans Boosters, who even now would be so misguided as to believe they can follow her example and simply step outside the gates and embark on some journey that will write itself on our houses and walls, like the murals our originals found splashed all over the deserted neighborhoods. Those murals depicted scenes of children dancing in circles, of teams of smiling, joyously laboring adults, of never-setting suns whose rays illuminated only acts of kindness and sharing. For aren't all such murals as bounteous in their hopes as in their scale? Aren't they expressions of the grandest wishes, which, by definition, will never come true?
Chang Ray Lee reading a section near the beginning of his novel, On Such a Full Sea. I think you can particularly hear the immigrant sound in a sentence like, have we not done the job of becoming our best selves? There's something terrifyingly sad about the importation to America, the rehabilitation of cities like Baltimore, turning them into the equivalent of Chinese factories, inventing, in many senses, what amount to little red books. You know, these are sort of Maoist reconstructions of the need for cleanliness and simple-minded compliance. And it's a very frightening book. Here, there's a woman named Fan. We barely know her face. Not even the cover of the book allows us to see her face. And each chapter begins with a stamp of something that seems to be a fish moving forwards and backwards at the same time. And we can't quite make out, although it's repeated, what it is. And that's what this prose is about. Our inability to see what these people are trying to describe.
Well, and they're describing from within, if you will, an aquarium. I mean, it's as if they've, you know, their entire world has been set about them. The perimeter is clear. But there's nothing in that world that can nourish them. And that's one of the things that I think I find scary about the book. You know, they do have their small pleasures, you know, the particular foods they eat and the little games and little, you know, illicit activities some of the people will have, like reselling certain items. But essentially, this is a faithless, cultureless society, and the only culture being the culture of ordered production. And that for me is something that is not, and it's not just an immigrant, you know, these people who have been forced to come over, but it's a condition that I sort of feel like we're all kind of getting to be. I mean, we're all sort of, if we're not good consumers, then we're not really quite being morally upright. And if we're not, as we do our jobs and we go along and we try our best to enjoy what's given to us and what we can reach for without reaching too far, then everything is copacetic.
How would you put it? Is this the destiny of the immigrant in America, of the wage slave in America? There are in the book charters. These are people who have more than enough money. They've been allowed to live off the bounty of different communities. One of these communities produces fish products. We're most familiar with Beemore, Baltimore, where the fish come from. But others of them produce dessert products, and their responsibility, their reward in life, is to make a perfect fish or a perfect dessert in a world that has become tainted already, where even the aquariums where the fish are raised, they're subject to different kinds of infection. They have to be constantly cleaned. The vegetable matter that the fish feed on sometimes gets moldy, and the mold enters the water. So the constant task of attempting perfection, an impossible task.
But I guess the question is, for what? I mean, this is a world in the book of owners and workers, and the charters are the owners. And I think my, you know, I guess my great anxiety about the way that our society, and since this is not just an immigrant story, this is not the fate or destiny of immigrants, in my view, it's the fate of us all, which is those who...
Well, that's why I say wage slaves.
Yeah, we are wage slaves. We're all becoming... I mean, I think that the way that the economy is getting structured is you either serve, you're a service person, and no matter what occupation that is, even if it's something that's somewhat professional, quote unquote, or you're an owner. And there's a huge gulf between the resources accruing to those two groups.
Fan, who is the heroine, just because we're calling her the heroine, there are any number of others like her. She runs away to find her lost lover and the father of her unborn child, Reg. Yes?
Yes.
We know nothing of him except that he's innocent and somewhat immature.
He's a little bit of a... I think he's compared to a sort of dog that gets its muzzle caught in a peanut butter jar.
That's right.
Cute, but a little hapless. And again, Fan is, you know, she's not a, quote unquote, as they would say today, a thought leader. She's not a, a swashbuckler in that way. She's not any kind of hero. In fact, she's not a hero at all. She's just a girl who has a very, very simple mission, which is just to find her boyfriend.
And what precedes is a sort of Perils of Pauline adventure story, as she wanders in the counties, gets picked up by a former charter, a doctor, who helps to cure her leg. She needs
splints. Well, he is actually a former veterinarian.
Veterinarian
turned fully fledged doctor in the rough open counties. But the whole thing about Fan is, and people have talked to me about Fan, is like, why don't I know about Fan in the way that I would encounter other heroes? Why don't you give me her interiority? Why don't you, you know? And I said, well, she's not really, I mean, she is a person, but she's also a figment. She's also
She may not exist.
She's also a construction.
This is like the Chinese operas about the heroic efforts of a factory worker. And when we're told her story, we don't know who's telling the story. And some of it is quite mysterious. She ends up in a household with a man named Leo, is it?
Mr. Leo.
Mr. Leo, who rapes her.
Well, tries to. Tries. He rapes all the other girls who who are caught, and her, his wife, Miss Kathy, keeps those former domestic servants, all girls, as kind of pets.
I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening to Bookworm from KCRW. I'm talking with Chang-Rae Lee about his book On Such a Full Sea, which is out in paperback from Riverhead Books. We'll continue after this short break.
I'm Connie Alvarez, producer of Bookworm. Check out our other KCRW programs in the podcast section of iTunes. Shows like DNA, Good Food, The Treatment, Unfictional, and The Business. Or listen on KCRW's smartphone apps. And thanks.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm, and I'm talking with Chang-Rae Lee about his recent book On Such a Full Sea, an imagining of a future America where class is king and wandering beyond it can become legendary, and the legend leads to a kind of bureaucratic fairy tale adventure story language where anonymous people are trying to create a heroine for themselves, but they don't have enough of a sense of what human identity would be to create such a heroine.
Yeah, and the models that they have via the creatures, and I call them creatures that Fan meets along the way, are of course wild, grotesque, perverse, complete, you know, fetishes in bodily form. And so they're constantly grasping for ways in which they can both be appalled, but also to try to find something of themselves, some kind of vision for themselves. Because ultimately this is, you know, it's a kind of Bildungsroman. I mean, but it's not Fan's story. It's the story of this narrator who is desperately trying to figure out through her wanderings who they are.
Would it be going too far to say that it's a dystopian novel by accident, that what it really is a kind of Candide, that it's a Voltaire satire of what happens to people. In Candide, they're told that all's for the best in the best of all possible worlds, and it's disproven wherever they look.
To much hilarity.
To right. much hilarity. Right.
This book is not so hilarious. I think it's more alarming than it's. I think you could find humor in it, but it's not meant to be humorous. It's meant to be shocking, but not sensationally so. Shocking because I think I was shocked by the depths and the strange contours that of the consciousness of this of these people, you know, not just the people that Fan encounters, but the way in which this consciousness of the we begins to discover, you know, its sort of furthest reaches.
Well, alarming is right, especially since the vanishing of the middle class in contemporary America is currently very real. That we're dealing with a worker class and a luxury-based class, but the people, the middle class, who keep their stories intact, who tell each other the stories of their grandparents and their nations of origin, these are the people who are being
shunted off to the Netherlands.
Yes.
Right? I mean, and in the novel, there's a whole sort of unwashed section called the Open Counties. And that's where people are sort of left to their own devices. But there, at least, they still have some kind of sense, ultimately, of language and storytelling.
What fascinated me was to read a story that can't be told because the language doesn't exist to tell it in. And yet the people are trying, everywhere you look, they're trying to draw pictures of something that can't be depicted. They're trying to tell a story of something that doesn't have words. And those are the stories of individuality, heroism, and personal freedom.
And imagination.
And imagination.
All under the rubric of imagination, which is in short supply.
And it's such a interesting book to read because of the particular literary question that it sets itself. What will it be like to have a novel that doesn't know how to have characters, how to ascertain or assert the truth of any events, that does not allow us to truly understand why a character has disappeared? He's probably been killed. It's a very extraordinary thing to choose. Do you feel that your own background as a Korean American gives you a special insight into this world?
Well, again, I don't know about my particular Korean American background, but as I said at the start, this is sort of an experiment of an immigrant novel, an experiment about a certain kind of trope of living. Extreme, of course, not one I've lived and not one I ever wanted, but almost a kind of horror story.
Yes.
About that a kind of living that could be. But I hope not just relegated to an immigrant context, but something that I think I'm seeing, you know, in a much wider way.
Well, a cautionary tale is always one that's told in the hope that it can be, that its vision can be somehow avoided. Maybe by the reading of the book itself. The book is On Such a Full Sea. The author, my guest, is Changrai Lee. The publisher, it's out in paperback, is Riverhead. Thank you for joining me.
Great to talk to you, Michael.
You can comment on today's show. Download the podcast from kcrw.com or from iTunes. You can also listen on demand with KCRW smartphone apps. My co-producer is Connie Alvarez. Alan Howard is associate producer. The technical director is Mario Diaz. Special thanks to David Sobel. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcasts, the most recent ones, at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mayle of Sparks.
A bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm when Peter Cole is our guest.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art.
Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.